Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Thursday. Don't forget Santa Claus, part of our 150-year tradition. What? Give or take
a few years.
Did I miss the mark?
Yeah, just a few years.
Fun show tonight, by the way. Carl Nassib has had a big 24 hours. Ted Hendricks Award winner, Lombardi Award winner, first team All-American CBS Sports, first team All-American by Sports Illustrated, and Saquon Barkley, USA Today, all-freshman team, all in the last 24 hours. It didn't make Kevin's rundown. Evidently, being the nation's top lineman was not good enough for the Kevin Herr rundown. He's too obsessed about a closer on a team that doesn't need a closer.
First off, I figured you would already have all that stuff in your mind. So there was no sense in me telling
you. This memo is not for me. This is memos for other people on the staff is what we're going to talk about. All right, come on, man. Come on.
I mean, that was automatically done by you. I don't need to tell you that we need to have that little rundown.
Lombardi, first team All-American, Hendricks Award. He's up tonight for the Bednarik Award. Come on.
I think that's great.
Well, we're glad you endorsed it. Even though we had to remind you of it. Come on.
I knew that was already on the list, so I didn't bother adding it to that.
Yeah, sure you did. Yeah.
I get those emails. I'm in the loop.
Yeah. Really?
Who do we have on the show today? I know we have Doc Emmerich.
Yeah, we have Doc Emmerich today.
Actually, I'm working on trying to see if Todd Zielecki might be available from MLB.com.
All right, now let's talk about your trade, okay? Did it make the front page of ESPN.com?
Yes.
No, wasn't on mine. Okay, you look at CBSSports.com all the time, okay?
Actually, that's not where I saw it. I actually saw it from Todd on MLB.com this time.
MLB.com.
Yeah.
Well, of course it's on MLB.com. It's a Major League Baseball trade. Let me tell you the gem in the trade for the Phillies.
Please, I hope there is one.
Without question, the gem in this. A player I really like.
Derek Fisher. Okay.
The first baseman. Oh, my goodness. Saw him at Tri-City. He is a really good prospect. This is not an okay prospect, or they got a prospect. This, to me, he is the cornerstone of this trade. He is really good. I like him, not a little bit. I like him a lot. And I think that's the part where it may take a couple years, but there is your first baseman of the future right there with the Philadelphia Phillies.
Because the other two guys that I saw, two of the three other guys I saw on the list did not excite me.
Yeah, but they're young pitchers. I mean, that doesn't bother me. You mean young? What, you think Giles is going to go out there? You know, the Astros are rolling the dice here that he's as good as they think he is. Right? This is not going out there and, oh, look, we've acquired Trevor Hoffman.
That's true.
Oh, track record. Not bad. The Red Sox acquired Kimbrel from San Diego. What does Kimbrel have? Between Atlanta and San Diego, he has a track record in that spot. What is Ken Giles' track record? Give me what, you know, tell me what he's done the last 5 years. Oh, that's right. He hasn't been in the league 5 years. But, as usual, Kevin becomes emotionally attached to players.
No, I don't even think I saw this kid more than a few times. I mean, I'm just, it's one kid that they've been talking about for a long time, coming up, and then all of a sudden he's here, things look good, and they're willing to trade him away away. It's like, are you playing for the now, or are you playing for tomorrow? Because he would seem like a guy you would want tomorrow.
Kevin, these are guys, you got to remember, who's evaluating these people? Okay, who's making evaluations? All right, a whole new set of people make evaluations. And as they make evaluations, then they make decisions on who to keep and who not to keep. The Astros really need, they feel, a closer to make the next step. They made the playoffs last year, so that's the kind of team you want to deal with. One that's a little bit, you know, they're feeling pretty good about things. Now they feel like, you know, they're a couple steps away, so they might be willing to do something. Might throw in a prospect they don't really want to throw in to sweeten the deal. Okay? What do you have to close?
But you're always telling me...
As soon as you explain to me what the Phillies have to close, I'm on board with it.
Well, you're always telling me, though, that you've got to play for tomorrow. You've got to play to build a team. Well, I would think a closer would be a pretty good thing to have on your team. The question is there another guy out there ready to close?
But, Kevin, you can get closers just in your own staff. You only have to have a guy that's a two-pitch pitcher. It's not that difficult coming up with closers these days. I mean, Dennis Eckersley is the perfect example of, look, okay, go out, throw your pitch.
Okay, who would be another guy that the Phillies could look at as a closer on this? Because I'm looking at the roster, and I don't know.
It doesn't matter right now. You're not good.
Well, that's painfully obvious.
But you see my point? Why don't I go out and get four players and give up one and bolster the entire organization more so by keeping one guy?
If this was a one guy that wasn't as young as he is, I would probably understand it a little more. But the thing that runs in my head is here's a young guy that has played well for you, and now you want to trade him for... I'm hoping you're right, okay, for Derek Fisher, okay, and a couple of guys that might be good.
All right, but how many saves did he have for you in April? May?
He has 16. Yeah. He had 16 saves for the, or 15 saves for the year.
Right. Right. He's 25 years old. Okay. And he's a good young prospect.
His
and they're
whip
hoping
is one.
That he... So what?
Hey, so what?
I need more bodies out there. I can't do it at the expense of a guy. I can't. Right? I can't do that. If I can get multiple people that are going to help me down the road, good.
ERA 1.56 in two seasons. Now, granted, that's... Not, you know,
that's 113 games. That's
113
fine.
Games, yeah.
I'm fine. In 115 and two-thirds, he's given up 84 hits and so forth. But don't lament something that you don't need. You don't need this guy.
Well, there's going to be a day where you will. And hopefully it's sooner rather than later. That's what I don't understand. I mean, when you're building a team for the future, he is a future guy.
Yeah, but why do you get four guys in for him, and all four of them are future guys?
No, from what I've seen for two of the three pitchers, they're 500 guys at best.
Now, at this minute,
I hope you're right.
Okay.
I told you on Tuesday Giles was gone.
That's fine. I don't care. But you have nothing to. And I said Tuesday, you have nothing,
nothing to close.
Okay. Here it's Thursday now. You still have nothing to close. Your team is not good. You have to rebuild this thing across the board. You have to really do it almost like how the Pirates have done it. And the Phillies minor league system is good, not great right now. I think Roman Quinn's going to be a player for them along the line. Moving through, Crawford's going to be a player for them. No doubt about that in my mind. I think they've got a couple of young catchers. I think they're going to help them and be good. The kid they drafted out of Cal's not a bad player. But they still have a ways to go.
Okay, well,
and what's really great, though, about the Giles trade, really great, is that on a Thursday, you're whining about it.
All right, let me ask you this. Now, I think I agree with you from what I've understood, that there is one guy in this trade that makes complete sense, and that's Fisher, the outfielder. But Velasquez hasn't stayed healthy, Tommy John surgery, groin issue, has a couple of pitches with a fastball that's in the low 90s. I mean, was he a throw-in as far as the Phillies were concerned?
I don't know. Why don't you get him on the show, we'll ask.
Actually, I'm working on getting Todd Zielecki onto the show to see, and it may be as early as today if he has time and we're able to sneak it in. Because I'd love to hear the details of this. I mean, if you're going to give up Giles, I want to see more than one player come out of it.
You act as if the Phillies today threw away the pen.
No, they didn't throw it. They may have thrown away the pen for 3 years down the road.
Okay. With Giles, they're still in last place. We're going to be worse without him?
I'm thinking 3 years down the road, not next year.
The key is to get two guys out of this trade that really produce for you as opposed to having one.
I would agree with that completely.
If you get more than two out of it, then you've really hit the bonus.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And right now, looking at things right this second, not being a scout of any sort, if you're a Phillies fan and you're looking at this, it does not look like they got more than one guy out of it. They got two guys with an ERA that hovers around 4, 500 pitchers, may make something, may not. Mm-hmm. Both fastballs are in the low 90s.
No, one's 95. You know, last time I checked, that's not low.
All right, sorry. Low to mid. Well, Velasquez is what, 94.8?
95 in my neighborhood.
Well, it's not awful. But he's injury prone.
Yeah. It doesn't.
He's already had Tommy John surgery.
Well, it's fine. Normally, you come back from Tommy John, you're stronger.
I wonder how many guys have had Tommy John surgery. I mean, this guy's 25.
No, Matt
23.
Harvey did.
23, and he's had Tommy John surgery. That's scary.
Matt Harvey did. Matt Harvey did.
Yeah, but that's scary to me, though, at 23 that you've already had Tommy John surgery. I mean, we've talked about this many times. I think that's a sign of overuse when you're younger than overuse when you're in the majors or in the minor leagues.
We'll take a break. Allow Kevin to go out, see Sean Carey, who has a plate of cheese to go with his wine, as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. What was that?
That's my hope for the Phillies. Either they go big or go home. I hope this was big.
It's one stupid trade. Jeez. Too much talk about nothing. All right. It's actually bigotry for the Astros. It's not for you.
I agree with that. I think they got a good deal.
They're trying to win the whole thing now. For Philadelphia, it's all prospects. It's much ado about nothing at the moment. All right. Okay. Tonight we've got Shikellamy and Milton basketball tonight.
That is correct. Shikellamy and Milton in the jungle for the start of the Heartland Conference Division One.
Now that'll be tonight at 7:06
affirmative
airtime tonight, and they'll play. All right, we'll come back. This day in sports history, play-by-play call of the day. Doc Emmerich all today here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Shikellamy and Milton coming up tonight in basketball. And that'll be at 7:06 this evening. And part of our lineup this week, Santa Claus on from 6 to 7 tonight. And so looking forward to that this evening. Time now for this day in sports history. And this day in sports history includes the Red Sox making a trade on this date, with the Philadelphia A's acquiring Jimmy Fox, very similar to what the Phillies did today. Also in 1919, Kevin's entire baseball career changed on this date, and he never knew it. The National League voted to ban spitballs for all new pitchers. For Kevin, that was the single most effective pitch he had in the arsenal, and never got a chance to use it.
You know, I did pitch in Little League. I gave up 3 walks and a grand slam. It was the only strike I threw the entire inning.
And also on this day, this was the day the American League said yes to the designated hitter in 1972. And it was going to be a 3-year experiment. And in 1975, the American League voted to permanently adopt the DH. The longest non-scoring play in NFL history Jim Hart of the St. Louis Cardinals threw a pass from his own one-yard line to Bobby Moore. And he was tackled at the Rams' one-yard line. 98 yards on the play. Now, you would know Bobby Moore under a different name.
Okay.
Come on, you're a big sports guy. Come on.
I would know Bobby Moore under a different name.
Yes, everybody would. Bobby Moore. When the Buffalo Bills acquired Bobby Moore, Bud Tallman told me that they had to call his house. And this woman answered. An older woman. And it was his mom. And they said, we'd like to speak to Ahmad Rashad, please. And she says, who? Who are you talking to? Well, there's no Ahmad Rashad here. He goes, Ahmad Rashad? We just picked up Ahmad Rashad. This is the number we were given. Oh, Bobby, come to the phone. She would call him.
You're right. I would know him as something other than that.
Yes. 1992, the NHL awarded franchises to Miami, the Florida Panthers, and Anaheim, now the Ducks. They got rid of that silly mighty thing. And this is also the day in 2007, Michael Vick was sentenced by a federal judge in Richmond to 23 months in prison for bankrolling a dogfighting operation and killing dogs that underperformed. He was sentenced to 23 months in prison today. And that is this date in sports history. Back now to the ever-entertaining Kevin Herr memo. Did we touch on everything you brought up?
No.
I'm hoping so.
Ahmad Rashad, didn't he do an NBA show for a while?
Yes, he did. Let's see. Derek Fisher ranked number 8 among Astros prospects. Yeah. As soon as you can tell me between 8 and 9, I do visuals. He can play.
It's a good thing I was going to ask you, what's the difference between 8 and 9 now?
Yeah, nobody knows. That's what I always love about the recruiting guys. He's the 12th ranked tight end. Okay, tell me the difference between 11 and 12. Tell me the difference between 11 and 12. There's got to be a difference why one's 11 and the other one's 12. Tell me the difference. None of them can tell you. Okay. Terrell Hunt, Syracuse quarterback, denied a 6-year, missed 18 games over the last 2 years because of injuries, but the NCAA ruled that he missed a cutoff for a medical redshirt in 2014 by one game. 18 games is like 2 seasons. What is that?
No, I meant missing 18 games is like missing almost 2 full seasons.
Yeah, but if you miss by a game, you got to have rules as to where the cutoff is.
I understand that. I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just...
I mean, would you like him to have missed by 2 games?
No, I totally understand that. That's not... My thing was, if he wouldn't... I guess what I was alluding to is, if he would have been able to follow the rules properly, would he have been granted that? And number two, have they ever given somebody leeway like that before?
No.
Well, then there was no precedent. Why should he be complaining?
Right. There's nothing to complain about. He played one game beyond what the number was 1 year. There's a certain point where you can't medically redshirt people anymore. Right? I don't blame him for wanting another year. I don't blame any kid for wanting to escape the cocoon of college. But no. I, you know.
Well, then that question goes on to how difficult it is to get a sixth, and
what do you need to do?
Like what's the circumstances for being able to get one?
Huh? Oh, you have to have had, like, take for example, Naeem Wortman White probably would qualify for one because he's had 2 injuries. One occurred in the opener against Ohio University, and the other one occurred in the opener against Temple. He probably would qualify. How about that?
No, that's a good example.
So that would be it. My guess is Hunt probably played in the fourth game of 1 year, and that does it for you. Well, if you play, you're past the point.
No, I wasn't disagreeing with the decision. I was just kind of curious as to exactly what
they're doing fewer and fewer sixth year guys now. Fewer and fewer. They're more into, you know.
I had more on there than that, though.
Since we're talking hockey today, how long before the NHL bans fighting? They're not going to ban fighting. There's less of it now, so it's not like it's...
Okay, well, let me take this one step further. As someone who does not watch a ton of hockey, now, I haven't seen a fight in a long, long time, except on a highlight. My question is this. As long as it's just two guys, like, bare-knuckle fighting, the referees let them go until one hits the ice, then they stop the fight and issue the penalties?
I don't know. What the crazy. You have to have somebody on to tell you. I don't know.
Well, but that's what I always wondered. What are the rules on fighting when the referees let them fight? And I think this is the only sport, the only professional sport I can think of where, besides boxing or UCF or UFC rather, where you can actually fight and it's okay, even, but there is a penalty to be served later.
Yeah. I don't know. So it's.
I always found that
less
interesting.
Of it now.
And do they still give the instigator penalty?
No.
Because it used to be you get 5 minutes for fighting, and then there was a 2 minute instigator.
No, you don't get that. You cannot leave the bench to get involved. You do that, then you're suspended. Now that's part of it. You can't do that. So you're not going to have bench clearing brawls anymore. You'll just have guys on the ice brawling.
I don't remember where I read it, but I read one time that you, as long as it was two guys, until one hit the ice, that's when they'd break it up.
I think that's all judgment. I don't know what the, you'd have to ask them. As to how they do this, I mean, I think you usually do until one guy has an advantage. Usually if one guy takes the shirt and he pulls it over the top of the other guy, they're usually in the mood to start winding it down. Let them get their frustrations out, move on. Should they ban fighting? I don't know.
Let's see. I'm looking up the rule book. I think it's Rule 56, by the way, called fisticuffs.
There's so much less of it now, it doesn't really... It doesn't really matter as much. I don't think. I don't, you know. You're pretty much into violence.
let's see. They do, according to NHLOfficials.com, which is supposedly the NHL Officials Association, Rule 56 is called fisticuffs. And it is a legitimate rule. Uh-huh. A player who deliberately removes his sweater prior to participating in the altercation, or who is clearly wearing a sweater that has been modified and does not conform to Rule 24A, is a unsportsmanlike conduct and game misconduct penalty.
Okay.
If a player penalized as an instigator of an altercation is wearing a face shield, he shall be assessed an additional unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. So that's interesting to me, though. So if you're wearing a face shield and you instigate the fight, obviously you've got extra protection, so you're going to get another penalty from the official for being an instigator. That's interesting. I would not have taken the time to think about that if I were in the rules committee.
And I haven't taken the time to really think of it now.
But to someone who doesn't follow hockey, that I find the fighting situation and fighting rules in hockey very intriguing.
Are you going to try this out in Sean Carey in the hallway? What are you going to do?
No, he's taller than I am. I don't think I could get the sweater over his head. I mean, let's face it. You got to get the sweater over the head and arms. Otherwise, you're going to get pummeled.
Yeah, but he's wearing that sweater today with all the reindeer on it. We'll come back with more in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Be kind of fun for you going through the rule book.
I actually found the NHL rule book, and there's really nothing set where, as you said, it's at the kind of at the discretion of the referees. There's nothing that says it can be it has to be a one-on-one situation, and until one guy hits the ice or has his sweater pulled off or whatever, the fight's over. There's nothing that states that. That's very interesting to me. I mean, there's clear rules on the type of punishments that are available for this.
Right.
Like they even go to rule 46-4. When a fight occurs, all players not engaged shall immediately go to the area of their player's bench. In the event it takes place at a player's bench, the players on the ice from that team shall go to the defending zone. Goalkeepers remain in their crease, except in the event the altercation takes place in the vicinity of the goal crease, and then they obey the referee directions. I mean, they even have certain areas that they spell out where they want everybody to be.
They don't go there. Just so you know, they don't.
Also in the rules, no player may remove his helmet prior to engaging in a fight. This is much different than what I remember watching on Slapshot.
Really? You really? You base your hockey experience on Slapshot?
And Miracle.
And Miracle. Who won the Stanley Cup last year?
Mike Ruzzioni? Wasn't it Detroit?
Oh, Chicago won.
Okay, well, it was in the Midwest. I wasn't that far away.
I knew they had
red in their uniforms.
This is painful. Who won the year before?
Chicago.
Oh, no. This is painful. The Kings did.
Oh, that I did. Now that you mentioned it, I did remember that now. I remember.
Oh, good. Okay.
I remember Dan Patrick talking about it because he supposedly is a big Kings fan. So I do remember that now.
So's Al Michaels. Al Michaels, season ticket holder.
Well, he lives out there. I'd understand that. I told you, I'm trying to watch hockey. I think the new overtime rule makes it much more interesting to me. What I don't understand about hockey is the points assessed for ties. I don't get that, because if you actually have a winner, why do you even get a point for skating to a tie in regulation? That's the part that confuses me when it comes to hockey.
I don't know. This is the way, look, they want to eliminate ties. I think 3-on-3 is really exciting. Shootout, whatever. But 3-on-3 is exciting. You have fewer shootouts now because of 3-on-3. And I think that's great. I think that part's great. That you can end games, and it do it in such a way where it's so entertaining now. I mean, I think it's really entertaining the way they do it.
I agree.
Really entertaining. And a lot more fun. But Doc Emmerich's going to be on next half hour to do that.
Tony from Shamokin has a quick call, or has a quick question for you, so we'll sneak him in.
Tony, the part about Sean Kerry with the reindeer sweater, Kevin wants to pull it over his head. Are you in favor, yay or nay?
Uppercuts, yeah. Phil Esposito said one of his most embarrassing moments in sports, in hockey, was when he fought Ross Lansbury of the Philadelphia Flyers. And when a referee called the penalty, he called 2 minutes each to lay a game.
That's great.
Ross Lansbury played for the Flyers. He played for the LA Kings, too.
And he was one of the first guys to wear a helmet.
Yeah, well, considering Ross didn't have a lot of hair up on top, I don't blame him.
Have a good day, guys. Bye.
Doc Emmerich, next half hour on the Kevin Hurt Clambake. NHL rules and more.